Father, bless these words to our hearts, anoint our ears to hear, and our hearts to receive. Lord, give us a message from your heart and from your throne. And Father, touch our hearts in Jesus' name. In Psalm 136, you don't need to turn there. The Word of God says, it's like 26 times. In Psalm 136, the Word of God says 26 times, His mercy endures forever. His mercy endures forever. I think as believers, we need to realize what this means in our lives, that God's mercy endures forever. And this is a source of many of our problems, because we do not believe in the mercy of God. We don't know that we believe it. We don't know that we don't believe it, but we don't. And it shows up when trials or testings or any kind of difficulty happens to come. We don't believe that God's mercy endures forever. I don't know of any other thing in the Bible that states a fact of God's character that many times. That God's mercy endures forever. And it's not just in Psalm 136. It's just in that one psalm alone. But throughout the Bible, it is repeated over and over that God's mercy endures forever. Now, as we study the Bible and the principles of hermeneutics, we learn that the importance of a passage or of an idea, a concept, is revealed by its repetition. I believe this is probably the most highly repeated phrase in the entire Bible, that God's mercy endures forever. There is never a time when His mercy was not present. There is never a time where it will not be present, and it is present now. Because God's mercy endures forever. So, turn with me, please, to Romans chapter 3. The Word of God says, and starting in verse 3, "For what if some did not believe?" For what if some did not believe? We talk a lot about believing God, but what happens when we don't believe God? You see, this is the normal state of man. This is the state of the believer from time to time as he is learning and growing in Christ. The younger believer finds himself in this state much more often than the mature believer. Now, by that I don't mean the freshly saved as younger. I mean younger in quality, not in chronology. And it is entirely possible for somebody to have been saved 20, 30, 40, 50 years and still be a young believer, because they have a quality of a young believer, not of a mature believer. And this happens when people stay in churches where they do not preach the full counsel of the Word of God. They remain young believers. And it's like Paul said, you have need of being fed when you should in fact be feeding others. You should be teaching others, and you have need of being taught. You should be feeding others, and you have need of being fed. You are a young believer, although you have been saved 25 years. But you are a young believer. "For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect?" And the word faith there isn't what we think faith. It's actually a better translation, is faithfulness. "Shall my unbelief make the faithfulness of God without effect?" In other words, if I don't believe God, will He stop being faithful? God forbid. In verse 4, God forbid. Never, God forbid. It will not happen. Let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in the sayings and mightest overcome when thou art judged. God forbid that God's faithfulness be in any way, in any form, affected by my unbelief. Because then the nature and the character of God would be founded on who I am, the imperfect man. The fallen man cannot change the perfect God. But many people think that somehow if they are not faithful to God, if they step outside the boundaries, if you will, if you cross across the line, that God will not be faithful to you. Well, certainly we don't want to sin. God forbid we sin. But the woman caught in adultery, who was a born-again believer, although terribly backslidden, the woman caught in adultery did not receive one word of condemnation from God. All she received was the faithfulness of God's heart toward her. He dealt with her accusers, and he refused to condemn her. And then he taught her, and that was what he had to say. He didn't put her on probation. He didn't say, let's see how things work out. He didn't say, come for counseling for the next month and like 2 hours every Thursday, I want to see you in my office. All he said is, woman, go and sin no more. Like, don't do that. Don't do that anymore. That was it. That was the extent of his counseling. Don't do that. God didn't say to her, come for counseling. God said, where are your accusers? Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. And that was the counseling session. Do you think she sinned again? I don't. Let God be true and every man a liar. The problem that we have is that we don't believe that God is true and every man a liar. We believe that we are true and God is a liar. And although we are too well religiously taught, when the rubber meets the road and our heart comes out and the contents of our soul comes out and the contents of our mind comes out, we say, I am true, my experience is true, what I feel is true, what people are saying is true, God is a liar. No, God forbid. Let God be true and every single person on the face of the planet be a liar. If everyone in the world says, no, it is not the way God says it, everyone in the world is lying. In Revelation chapter 10 and verse 9, the Word of God says, and I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. This is a picture of the Word of God and its effect on the believer. We hear the Word of God, and in our ears it sounds sweet, and it edifies, and it builds us, and it does build us. But when it comes to the cutting conviction, when it comes to touching those parts of my life where I don't yet know God, when it comes to the parts of my life where I have no victory with Him because I am still immature in my faith in those areas, and we all have areas like that somewhere, it becomes bitter to my belly. The belly there speaks of the emotions. The languages of the Bible do not have words for emotions. So they use words like belly and reins and kidneys and bowels, because those are the things that take in and give out. Those are the things that steer us in a natural way. And so they're called mononyms. And the Word of God uses these mononyms to express the things of the emotions. And what He is saying there, though I loved the hearing of the Word, it convicted me sorely, and it made my emotions react. In Ezekiel chapter 3 and verse 3, Ezekiel is told also to eat the scroll. And he said, it will taste sweet to you. So eat the scroll. But there is often a difference, a dissonance, if you will, between what the Word of God says and what the Word of God means to me, and then what it produces in me is not always what I expect. And sometimes I get hurt by the Word of God. Sometimes I get hurt and I don't overcome. And maybe it's not by the Word of God alone. Maybe it's something in me. Maybe there is a weakness, or maybe there is something in my past that I have trouble dealing with. And the Word of God doesn't seem to deliver me, although I know that it should. But it isn't working. But I still love the Word, I still have hope for the Word, but somehow it doesn't produce that, and I become a very frustrated believer. Because the Word of God is sweet in my mouth, but it will become bitter in my belly, because I can't seem to experience what God has said. And so I start to look at myself. I start to become introspective. I start to wonder, what is it that is wrong with me? Because it seems to be working for everybody else, but it isn't working for me. And I know that the Bible says it should be so, but I also know that in my own feelings, in my own heart, I can feel this. It is not so. I get frustrated, I get anxious, I get angry. I still have my lust patterns, I still have my old sin nature, I still can't get any victory, and I'm getting completely frustrated, and I think I'm going to go out of my mind, because there is this one thing that ought to be, and this another thing that is. Be careful. Be careful. Never define the Word of God by your experience. Define your experience by the Word of God. Believers like to flip that around. We like to flip around where our experience defines the Word, and the Word does not define our experience. You see, let God be true and every man a liar. In Psalm 26, verse 2, the Word of God says, "Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart." And this is exactly what is going on with a lot of believers. They hear the Word, and suddenly touches something in their soul in which they have no victory, and it upsets their emotions. And it starts to upset their emotions to such a degree that those emotions become their primary focus, and those emotions define for them their own relationship to God. And God did that on purpose, because He is examining and He is proving, and He will reveal to me the condition of my heart before Him. Why? To condemn me? No. So that I will recognize the need that I have to draw near to Him, to get rid of my emotions, to deal with old lines. He'll bring me into a narrow place where I don't have options, I just have burden. Do you know why He brings you there? To bring you to the end of yourself. God says there's way too much of you and way too little of me. And so I'm going to let you have you, until you're good and tired of you, and then you make room for me. A believer very frequently needs to come to the end of himself, where he stops trying and simply starts trusting. You see, let God be true and every man a liar, including myself. If my emotions are contrary to God's word, let God be true and my emotions liars. If my experience is trying to say to me, this is not so, let God be true and every man a liar. Why did he do that? Examine me, God, and prove me. Try my reins, the emotions as they steer me, and my heart, my frame of reference. Try my emotions, God. Bring the test on, is what the psalmist is saying. Bring the test on. See what kind of decisions I will make. See how my emotions will respond. See whether I will be directed by them. See what my frame of reference is. See if I'm well established in the Word of God. Am I well established in the finished work grace? Am I well established in the mercy that endures forever? Am I well established in the fact that you are faithful even when I am not? Try my emotions, God, and see how they steer me. Try my frame of reference and see what is the contents of my heart and my thoughts. In Jeremiah 15:18, the Word of God says, why is my pain perpetual and my wound incurable, which refuseth to be healed? Wilt thou be altogether unto me as a liar, and as waters that fail? How many believers are there? The Word of God came, and the Word of God went. And then it came again, and it went again. And I'm expecting something from the Word of God, and it simply does not seem to be. It is like waters that fail. Like it is, I am thirsty, but I cannot drink. And when I drink it, it does not satisfy. God, it's not true what you said. This is what believers think sometimes. God, it's not true what you said. What do I base that? I do not experience that word that you are talking about. I do not experience the release that you have talked about. I do not experience the victory that you said is mine. God, it's not true what you said. Be careful. Let God be true and every man a liar. Prove me, God. Test me. See what is the contents of my heart. See how my emotions steer me. You see, that thing that God has allowed, the reason why you're not getting delivered sometimes is because you need to come to the end of yourself. You see, God has to bring me to the place where I am completely gone. I must decrease in order for Him to increase. You know what some believers want? God, increase so I can increase. Or maybe I need to increase so that my awareness and my understanding and my conceptualization of God can increase. No, doesn't work that way. I must decrease and He must increase. And I don't pay attention to my emotions, and I don't pay attention to my experience, and I don't pay attention to my past. Why? Because God is true, and my emotions and my experience and my past is a liar. My experience and my emotions did not cause the heavens and the earth to come into being. My emotions and my past did not plan out a plan for my life. They did not cause that which was simply dust to come alive. God's word did. God spoke and the heavens came into being. So let God be true and every man a liar. Let God be true and every man a liar. You know what happens to believers? They conceptualize what the answer must be. It must be this way. And although I can't quite clearly define it for myself, it must be this way. You know what happens when it doesn't end up that way? I get very frustrated, I get very angry, and I don't even want to hear it. You know why? Because I'm being true in my mind and God is being a liar. But God says, let God be true and every man a liar. Let God be true and every man a liar. I am not greater than God. My emotions are not greater than God. God is simply trying to remove from me that which is holding me from Him. So He's letting me come to the end of myself, so that I will finally just plain old drop it and start trusting Him. So I will finally simply start trusting the Word of God, and so my own self will get so heavy in my own arms, in my own heart, in my own mind, that I will stop trying to carry it. And I'll simply say, God, I don't feel right, I don't feel good, I feel like a hypocrite, I know I'm a total terrible sinner, I know I'm no good, I'm rotten, I'm all this, that, and the other thing, but God, I don't know what else to do. That's a good day. That's a good day. The day when you think you can figure it out on your own, the day when you think that your emotions are going to dictate to you the experience that you have with God, is a very bad day. Because that is a day when there is a great deal of distance between the believer and his Savior. But the day when I say to God, God, I give up. I'm simply going to believe You. Although I don't see it, I don't experience it, I don't feel it, I'm simply going to believe You. Because I don't have anybody else to believe. I know, it's not in me, God. It's not in any other people, because I've seen what they're like. I'm going to believe You, and I'm going to hope for the best. That's a good day. That's a really good day. That's the day that God desires to bring the believer to. Because that is the day when God's strength is made perfect in my weakness. That is the day when I get off the throne and I allow God to be true when I acknowledge that I'm a liar. See, we believers, we're so hung up on the way that we feel. Our emotions dictate so much in our lives, and we don't even recognize that it's our emotions. It feels this way or it feels that way. You know what? There's not one place in the entirety of the Bible that says that my relationship to God is in any way, shape, or form dependent in any aspect on my emotions. Nothing about God or His relationship to me or my relationship to Him is in any way influenced by how it feels. How it feels is irrelevant. Now, emotions were created by God, but they were not created to think, they were created to respond. And when my emotions respond to the wrong things, they feel pretty lousy. They respond to sight, they respond to condemnation, they respond to projections, they respond to introspection, they respond to meditation on my past. And I feel pretty lousy. However, when my emotions start to respond to God, I start to feel much better. Because they are responding to His promises. They are responding to His character. They are responding to His mercy and the love that He has for me. They have substance to respond to. They say, let God be true and every man a liar. In Jeremiah 30, verse 12, for thus saith the Lord, thy bruise is incurable and thy wound is grievous. Your bruise is not going to be cured. It's not. God's not going to cure your bruise. You know why? Because your bruise is part of that which has been crucified. It is only the old sin nature in me that can be bruised. How can the life of God, the resurrection life, the eternal life of God, be bruised? The life that came after death. The crucifixion happened. They couldn't kill Him a second time. And that is the life that I have. Nevertheless, I live, right? I've been crucified with Christ, but nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ who lives in me. He already died. What else am I going to do to Him? You know what? If I have resurrection life in my heart, if I have God's life, if I have picked up my cross, I've already died. What else can you do to me? The bruise is in my flesh. This is why it is incurable. You know why? Because God sent it. God sent the bruise. In Job 20, verse 14, yet His meat is in His bowels. Excuse me. Yet His meat in His bowels is turned, and it is the gall of asps within Him. We feed on our emotions and it turns to venom. We get into these negative cycles where I look and I don't experience, and because I don't trust, I look some more. And I say, God, what is this? Why aren't you helping me? You know why? Because He's bringing you to the end of yourself. So that you decrease and He increases. He is allowing the remnants of my old sin nature, the things that I still hold on to go to the cross so that I can be released once and for all, so that I can have God's life in me. Those emotions, that venom, asps are poisonous. Kills me. I live in my emotions and I don't experience the life of God. I experience the death of my old sin nature. And I keep fellowshipping with those emotions. I keep my focus on them. I keep wondering, how does it make me feel? And it feels like this and it feels like that. And it's simply death to me. There's no life in it. Not 1 ounce of life is in my emotions when they respond to my flesh, to my sin nature. Numbers 5 and verse 22, and this water that causeth the curse shall go into thy bowels and make thy belly swell and thy thigh to rot. This water, it should have been the word of God. It should have brought life. But when I mix negativity instead of faith, when I look down instead of looking up, when I look to myself as opposed to looking to God, when I question rather than trust, it becomes water that goes into my bowels and it causes me to swell. And it expands and it expands and it gets bigger and bigger and the emotions get larger and larger and stronger and stronger. And before long, that is all that I can see, and that is all that I can think, and that it seems to be all that I have. It makes my belly swell. I feed on it, and I feed on it. And I try to be nourished, and I find nothing there. No life, no victory, no hope. And my thigh, that which carries me through my life, starts to rot. And I lose my relationship in a practical aspect to God. I lose a walk with Him. I lose that sweetness that I had with God. I lose it because my thigh is rotting and my belly has swollen. And this is all that I can think about. And it hurts. And it is increasingly distracting and it brings in despair. You know what you do with that? You get out of your negativity cycle. You let God be true and every man a liar. You let God be true and every man a liar. Ezekiel 3:3, and He said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat, cause your emotions to eat, and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Fill up your emotions with the promises of God. Plant your thoughts, your frame of reference, whether you feel it or not, whether you experience it or not, whether you believe it or not. Plant your thoughts and your frame of reference on God's promises. Well, if I don't believe it, how am I supposed to do it? Faith comes by hearing. Fellowship with the promises of God. Let your emotions eat God's faithfulness. Let your emotions eat God's mercy. What does God have to say about the way He sees you? Does He say you're a hopeless lost cause? Forget it. You're going to go to hell after all? I don't think so. No. God says, I love you with an everlasting love. Oh, hopeless lost cause, lost in your own emotions, struggling in your own muck. I love you with an everlasting love. And with loving kindness, I'll draw you. Then I did eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. But this one doesn't talk about what it did to his belly because his emotions were the ones that were feeding on it. Before, it was just the mouth that was feeding on it. Before, it was just listening. Before, it was just hearing. But now it is trusting. Now it is mixing faith with what I hear. Now it penetrates into my heart and my soul. Now it penetrates to my emotions. Now it can encourage me because I believe. Now I'm trusting God. Let your emotions feed on the promises of God as you mix faith with what you hear so that it will profit you. Trusting Him. And then as I'm trusting Him, I receive more and more. And suddenly the Word of God becomes a healing balm so that that incurable bruise and that sore that I had and that wound that I had, all of a sudden it starts to heal over because the Word of God is soothing me in my heart and in my soul and in my emotions and in my frame of reference. All of a sudden my memory becomes cleansed. I could remember if I tried, but I try less and less. And something else is occupying my thoughts. Something else is occupying my frame of reference. Something else is occupying my memory. And pretty soon I don't remember. Pretty soon my thoughts don't go there. pretty soon my emotions start to respond to God's promises and the Holy Spirit's initiations to my heart rather than to a negativity cycle as I look down and say, why isn't this working for me? Instead, I look up and say, God, you are faithful. Let God be true and every man a liar. And so my emotions start to heal over. So my mind starts to heal over as I get the mind of Christ. So my memory starts to heal over. So my conscience starts to heal over. As God is true and every man is a liar. Soon I hear the word of God and it actually produces something in me as I mix faith with what I hear. Why? Because I don't exalt my feelings above who God is. Did your feelings become flesh? God's word did. Did your feelings die for you? No, they might kill you, but they didn't die for you. God's word became flesh, and that flesh died for you. Did your feelings have the ability to create? Did they create you? No, but God's word did. Why do you think that God's word can't recreate you when God's word could create you the first time? Why do you think that God's word can't impart a new life to you when it imparted the life to you the first time? You know why? Because you think that every man is true and God is a liar. No. Let God be true and every man a liar. How do I get there? I let the promises of God touch my frame of reference by simply saying, okay, God, you said it, I'll trust it. And even though I may not have the capacity yet to trust it with a whole heart, I will trust it with what capacity I have. I will trust it. In Psalm 16, verse 7, I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. God gives me counsel. And what is the result? The result is my reins, my emotions, the ones that steer me, those emotions. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. And all of a sudden, because I have taken the counsel of God and I have mixed faith with what I hear and I simply start trusting the promises of God, my emotions settle down because I trust someone other than myself. I trust someone other than the circumstance that looks so desperate and impossible. I trust someone other than my own experiences. I trust someone other than my thoughts and my feelings. It's really all a matter of trust. You trust your feelings more or do you trust God more? And this seems so difficult to take and so difficult to hear. Do you know why? Because there is no cross in that part of your life. And God is allowing it to happen to bring the cross to that part of your life. So you decrease, God increases, and He finally releases you with resurrection life. It's difficult to hear because I'm holding on to that which God is trying to take away. You know what I do? I let it go. And the sooner I let it go, the less difficult it becomes. And I let it go and I simply trust God and say, God, you said it. I choose to believe it. Because you said it. Let God be true and every man a liar. In Job 19:27, whom, and this is talking about God, whom I shall see for myself and my eyes shall behold and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. And this is the way that I think in order to turn around This is how I turn my condition around. I start to trust God. I start to know that I'm going to see Him. I'm going to see my victory. And although I don't feel it, although I don't experience it, although I don't know it, although it is not a part of me, I start trusting that I'm going to see Him. I'm going to see Him cause me to come through. I'm going to see the victory that I'm looking for. And I'm going to see my deliverance. And I'm going to see God. And I'm not going to see anything other than that. And my emotions might fight me, my flesh might rebel, my thoughts may go against me, but God's word is God's word, and God is true, and every man's a liar, and I decide I'm going to trust Him, and I'm going to expect something from Him, regardless of what my emotions say. I'm going to tell Him to shut up, take a hike, get lost. Get a little tough with myself for a change. Get some guts. Trust God, the one who made me, the one who loves me, the one who is the reason for the fact that I'm breathing. My emotions don't cause me to breathe. God does. My emotions didn't put life into this flesh. God did. Let God be true in every man a liar. Jeremiah 12:2, thou hast planted them, yea, they have taken root, they grow, yea, they bring forth fruit, thou art near their mouth and far from their reins. They start making a confession, fruit starts coming into their life, they start making a confession toward God. Even though their emotions are saying no, they are saying, emotions, you are lying, God is true, and fruit starts being born. And they finally start to experience something that resembles at least a life with God, where they had nothing with Him before except a longing and a desire without the ability to actually have that, without the ability to attain. This is how I attain. This is how I attain. You want to attain? This is how it's done. Don't trust your emotions more than you trust God. You know what? Don't trust your emotions at all. They are simply responders to whatever happens to come your way. And if it comes from the inside or if it comes from the outside, it doesn't make one hill of beans a difference. Don't trust your emotions at all. If it's godliness, let them respond. But you know what? They'll respond to anything. They're made that way. This is why I have to have constantly the right initiations so that I can have the right response in my emotions, in my heart, in my frame of reference. Don't trust your emotions. Trust God. Let God be true and every man a liar. Yea, my reins shall rejoice. In Psalm 23:16, when thy lips speak right things. My reins shall rejoice when your lips speak right things. The confession produces the emotion. I receive a confession that is positive. I reject one that is negative. Whether it's from you or whether it's from myself, I receive the one that is positive towards God and I reject the one that's negative towards God. And what's the result of that? My emotions rejoice. And it's the ones that steer me. My emotions rejoice. In Isaiah 11:15, and righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. My strength comes from God's righteousness. And the strength that I have in my emotions comes from God's faithfulness. I know that regardless what happens, regardless how I feel, regardless what anything says, anything does, anything at all, I don't get sentimental with myself. I know that God's faithfulness is my strength in my emotions. But I'm not going to get there apart from believing God, trusting Him, apart from letting God be true and every man a liar. I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins. God searches the heart and God tries the emotions. Why? Even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruits of his doings. God tests me. God tests me. Why? Because He's trying to give me something. He's trying to give me fruitful emotions. He's trying to give me healthy emotions. He's trying to give me a healthy life with a healthy identity and a healthy mindset. And so He has to test me and try me. He has to turn up the fire. He has to let it come to the surface so He can scoop off the impurities. You see, this is where the victory comes from. I may curse the process that God puts me through. I may curse those things which I have to experience, but those things that I'm cursing are ultimately going to be my very deliverance. In Jeremiah 29 and verse 11, "For I know the thoughts I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." See, people start accusing God of thinking ungodly things because they think God thinks the way that they think. God doesn't think like a man. God thinks like God. See, I know the thoughts I have towards you. There is an expected end. That's what I intend to give you. You want that victory? I intend to give it to you. You want that deliverance? I intend to give it to you. These are the thoughts that I have towards you, says God. And 2 Chronicles 13:12, "And behold, God Himself is with us for our captain, and His priests with sounding trumpets to cry alarm against you, O children of Israel. Fight ye not against the Lord God of your fathers, for you will not prosper." See, this is what happens. I'm a believer and all of a sudden things start happening and I have to make a decision. Am I going to kick against the pricks or am I simply going to trust God? Or if I kick against the pricks and I decide I'm not going to believe you, God, I'm going to believe my own flesh, I'm going to believe this dust here that's not going to last very long anyway, but that's what I'm going to believe. You know what the Word of God says? You're not going to prosper. Don't go there. That's not the place where you're going to prosper. Where am I going to prosper? I'm going to prosper when I trust God. I'm going to prosper when I trust His promises. I'm going to prosper when I trust His Word, His character, His mercy. I'm going to prosper when I trust His thoughts toward me, that they are thoughts of good and not of evil, and thoughts to give me an expected end. That's where I'm going to prosper. Isaiah 43:4, "Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved you. Therefore I will give men for you and people for your life." This is the way that God sees us. This is what He's thinking of us. This is how His thoughts are towards us. In 2 Timothy 2:13, "If we believe not, yet abided He faithful, He cannot deny Himself." I can be in the worst unbelief, but He's still going to be faithful and He's still not going to deny Himself. He can't do it. He can't help Himself but to be faithful to me. Even if my emotions don't agree, even if my experience is telling me contrary, no matter what I think, It doesn't make a hell of beans of difference. Let God be true and every man a liar. God will be faithful to me. Plain and simple. I don't care what argument anybody wants to come up with. God will be faithful. In Hebrews 13:5, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. Oh God, you've forsaken me. No, heaven, I'm right here. Turn around. Oh God, you've forsaken me. Why don't you look up instead of looking down? Oh God, where are you? Why don't you start looking out instead of looking in? You know why you can't see God? Because you're too busy looking at yourself. Well, you know what? If I look at myself, I can't see you. Or anybody else for that matter. Forget trying to see God. All I can see is this big bruise. You know what happens? God stays safe. That's what happens when I do that. God stays safe. God's promises are yea and amen. God's promises are true. God is true and every man's a liar. God stays faithful. In Psalm 136 verse 1, I'll give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. See, this is one of the things that believers frequently fall into. They forget to give thanks unto the Lord because they don't believe that He is good. As a believer, I can live in an unthankful attitude, and my emotions will suffer because I'm not... You know why I'm not thankful? Because I don't believe. I don't walk in faith, and so I'm not thankful. But when I believe God's heart toward me, when I believe God's character and God's promises, it produces a thankfulness because God is good. And His mercy endures forever. This is how I experience the mercy of God. I become thankful for He is good. Psalm 41:13. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee. God says, don't be afraid, I'm going to hold you by your right hand. I'm going to hold you by the hand that should have strength and it doesn't. I'm going to hold you, and I'm going to keep you, and I'm going to guide you. Don't be afraid, I'm going to help you. Totally lost, confused, feel like you got no help, don't be afraid. God will take your hand and He'll help you. In closing, Psalm 121 and verse 2, My help comes from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. My help comes from the One who has all power to create all that there is. You know, we're so funny. We think God won't help us. The One who's capable of creating the universe, and we think He's not capable of helping a dust ball. Isn't that weird? God was capable of creating the universe. God's able to take care of His dust ball. Right? Finally, in Psalm 41 and verse 14, Fear not, I love this verse. Fear not, thou worm, Jacob. Fear not, you worm, Jacob. You may be a worm, but don't be afraid. You may think you're absolutely not one ounce of anything, but don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, you worm. God knows you're nothing. God knows I'm nothing. Don't be afraid. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel, I will help you, says the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. don't be afraid, you worm, I'll help you. And God has a sense of humor. Don't be afraid, I'll help you. See, our emotions don't want to go there. You know why? Because it keeps our flesh nice and alive. It keeps me the center of everything when my emotions are on the throne. But I'll tell you something. When my emotions are on the throne, I'm not experiencing the life of God. My emotions will respond to anything that comes their way. But let God be true and every man a liar, and let your emotions respond to God. Mix faith with what you hear. Respond to God. Trust Him and let Him produce a great work in your heart as His Word heals those emotions. As His Word heals that frame of reference, as His promises become a soothing balm. You see, let God be true and every man, every single man, including you, including me, every single man, let God be true and every single man a liar. There is nothing that can exalt itself against God. There is nothing that is greater than Him, and He is going to help you.